evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm going to do something uncharacteristic of me today, and that is I'm going to stick in caps so that I can finish quickly. But I know there are many, many great speakers coming. In its assault on social security, the Bush administration is only continuing what it does best, and that is theft of livelihood, resources, land, and the fruit of labor. It is continuing its programs of social transformation against the people of the U.S. and the world through economic alignment and globalization, war and destruction, curtailment of civil rights and liberties, and institutionalization of racism through double-faced laws and regulations. This is an administration with imperial policy par excellence. It sits at the helm of an empire on the march, aiming to conquer all, barring none. It radically in turning Iraq into a professional sectarian state with obedient functionaries and soldier officials, butchering in the process its people lest they gain sovereignty over the roads. It gloats over the face of the Palestinians with its reign of apartheid rule and in exile for 57 years and counting, and then falls on the telecom of isolated Pakistan, what a sliver of the land, a victory for democracy. It brags and thrusts, and it shows nation after nation, yanking from little children a loaf of bread, lest they grow up socialists, lest they grow up to thrive, from Haiti to Venezuela, in transforming the Philippines into a military base in near Togo. And in fact, it now has its fleet navigating the waters of the globe unchallenged. Yes, it is. It is an empire on the march, aiming to conquer all, everyone, barring none. Make no mistake about it. This is an
Israeli apartheid policy.
Who then profits from the killing of thousands of Iraqi children and the robbery of the entire of their national resources, the robbery of these women, babies, and the ambitious conquest of Palestine and its people? Surely not you and I. For we, the working people of this country, are ravaged by poverty and need to become good soldiers in a war in which we have no stake, against the people with whom we share a global earth, on a land which we have no title to pierce little heart with bullets that also pierce our very own right here in these United States, imprisoning and torturing as well, and then returning to their United States, homeless and diseased. That is not us. This war is not ours. The people of Iran, Palestine, Haiti, Venezuela, Syria, the Philippines, and Cuba, Afghanistan are not our enemies. We have and a struggle for justice. It is a war of prophets and of profiteers. Have they not fitted the sons and daughters of the civil rights movement, the Chicano oratorio, and the custodians of four borders with veteran fatigue and stealth bombers to conquer the diggers of the Suez Canal, the barbers of modern trees on the face of Jerusalem, and the Palestinian refugees for 57 years in the heart of Jabalia, Sabra, and Shatila and Jenin, and the bread bakers of Afghanistan, and the fishermen on the waters of Tisha and Iran in Iraq? Have they not falsely accused the Arab Americans, our workers of Detroit and conspirators, our community surgeons and farm workers in California, and fifth colonists, our professors, from Columbia to Berkeley and Saboteurs, our mosques and churches, from New Jersey to Los Angeles as centers of terror, and our culture as wicked and evil? But in that need to deny us our very humanity and our guaranteed constitutional rights, in their attempt to pit us against our neighbors as school districts, are they not continuing the legacy of the internment camps against Japanese American community, of Guantanamo and McCarthyism? Yet, like the phoenix, rising from the ashes, we continue to march on in the spirit of our children. With stones against the fan, we continue to march on. We, the Arab Americans, anchored in our constitutional right, clear on our vision for justice, pledged to stand with you, communities all over. For ours is a struggle of a productive survival. We pledge to remain anchors and the anchors of empty war. With our bodies, with our lives, we will remain anchors of empty war and for peace and justice with you. We pledge support for justice and self-determination for all struggling people. We pledge to hold dear to our constitutional rights, unabated, and to fight all the way along all communities, with all immigrants, with all who are struggling for peace and justice, for a united state, first at peace with itself, then at peace with the world. We pledge that to you. At peace, and we continue to fight until we secure security and justice and peace for all. And as I end, perhaps no better way to leave the mind than to leave it in the hand of someone who has been the custodian of justice from coast to coast, who has been of the people and for the people from coast to coast, who's not moved by titles, but moved by action, stands clear on what counts and knows when to act. It is with great respect, on behalf of my community, on behalf of the National Steering Committee of the Answer Coalition, on behalf of the local Answer, on behalf of our partners, on behalf of you, if you will permit me, to ask and to welcome the incomparable and the solid comrade and brother to all, Ramsey Clark.
Lives of others that have been called enemies. as much as we cherish the lives of those we love the most. I had several meetings with Saddam Hussein. One of them, we got to talking about the Vietnam War. And I told him how President Johnson had been a school teacher who held his first position of education among the people who are white country folk. How when he saw Mexican children through the Texas students without shoes, he cried, and he still cries, for the United States, he thought about it. He'd never seen children without shoes before coming to school. How he struggled with the civil rights movement. And more than any president of our time had the confidence of the African Americans that he believed in their civil rights. Yet when it came to Vietnamese, from the body count, he got it all. And he could say things like another coon skin on the wall. And Saddam Hussein, through an interpreter, obviously, responded that in our culture, we say the person who can love at a distance is a prophet. And I took him to mean by that it's easy to love the people right around you, the little children and your neighbors and your friends. But it takes vision and understanding and listen to love for an extraordinary dimension to love at a distance. Without that, we may be doomed to war. We ought to remember that we said at the end of Vietnam War, when the war is over, we looked for peace to begin. It never came. And all the 30 years since we've been engaged in war at one level or another, I started picking up on the plane flying out here today. Got up to about 25, and it was just too painful to think of it all. But you think of Salvador, Conference of East Nicaragua, little Bernadette, who claimed to be a great military victory, 110,000 people through the military force whatsoever. Think of Marines, Lebanon, the attack in the middle of the night against the sleeping cities of Benghazi and Tripoli and Libya. Think of all the assaults on countries. And you think of the continuing growth of our military since the Vietnam War. It's only 15 years after the end of the Vietnam War that President George H.W. Bush did his little dance in Kuwait and said, we finally kicked the Vietnam syndrome. And what he meant by that was, finally we were free to engage in big war today. There's one message that we learned from Vietnam after I got back, some years after I got back. It became crystal clear 30 years ago today. And that was the American people, united by the millions, forced their government and the military industrial complex of this country, against its will, to withdraw from the Vietnam War. By the time we succeeded in doing that, we were responsible for the death of at least 3 million Vietnamese, and we lost 58,000 young Americans who had no business being there or losing their lives.
Demonizing, people are afraid to mention their name in public.
We can't arrest this development now. We can't see what happened at the time and where we go. We have to mobilize and organize and reach out from here. We have to understand the urgency of it. How long have we watched the Palestinians suffer? How do we tolerate the destruction of democratic governments like that of President Aristide in Haiti? Systematic elimination of this support and leadership. But they're not going to succeed because the people of Haiti still support Aristide.
$1 billion.
civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s and the other liberation movements, the women's movement, the lesbian, gay, bi, and trans movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement. That is the great lesson. It is when we organize that we can go forward. And that is what we are dedicated to do and dedicated to support. And you know, if you're watching and participating, we've got some victories lately. They're not But on April 5th, there was a very interesting demonstration here in San Francisco at the Ritz-Carlton. How many people were at that? That was a demonstration of about 5,000 people, mostly workers, mostly organized workers, on a Tuesday evening. And within 48 hours of that very spirited demonstration, Governor Schwarzenegger pulled back on his pension privatization. Our organizing effort. We have to pay for all of the expenses
it. Oh, make it. So what? That's the way my mother made me. Okay, I am naked. So what? It must be my clothes are too tight. I am naked.
That was Stereo Total with I Am Naked. And before that, we had Slater Kinney, All Hands on the Bad One, two fairly newer songs from those groups. That one from Stereo Total, pretty much brand new. DeGreaser has a news report to go over with you.
Oh, and I'll tell you, it's a naked one, too. This is serious news, apparently. It's frankly something everybody's expected, and it's finally made itself apparent. The Sunday Contra Costa Times Valley Edition, Sunday Times for May 1st, 2005, today, screaming large headlines, environmental sirens in the Delta are screaming. Environmental sirens in Delta are screaming. And it gives an example of three different family of fish or species of fish in a copods, which are the foundation of the peanut butter, the bread and jam, the staple diet of the various types of fish in the bay. And these numbers are incredible. The census last year apparently was 62,000 of a long fin smelt, and now they're finding 190. From 62,000, now they've only found 190 of them left in 1 year, apparently. The Delta smelt have gone. These fish were all already in a bad way. They were on an endangered species list. Now there's like 74 of the Delta smelt left. And they only had 1,600 of them instead of 62,000. So that's of the smelt. Then the next are bass, striped bass. 6,500 of them down to 53. Threadfin shad, 19,000 of them, down to 1,300. So, you know, these people are nuts. They're making us poison our own water in order to make a cheap buck. And you know, gasoline prices are ape. What's going on with these refineries? Why are these fish dying? You know, this is pretty incredible. It either came from the refineries or maybe God knows what Arnold's dumping into it, but I would say it's probably from the ports, too, you know, way up in Stockton way, and it's making its way down the Delta. They're poisoning the hell out of California's waters and getting cheap money for it. So grab a copy of the Sunday Times. Probably find it online, and very serious news.
Oh, this is Rommel.
Oh, I guess we've got a call. Do they want to go on the air? And, by the way, as the subheadline in this, despite spending billions, CalFad can't fix the Delta. So our taxes can't fix it, despite spending billions. So I would expect, reading this story, it kind of makes it apparent that what's going on is that, well, as I said before, they're making money poisoning it, but there's no money in cleaning it up. They're not going to pay for cleaning it up. The only people making money on getting it cleaned up are the lawyers, and it's not getting cleaned up. And so finally it's hit the point where they're dying massively. And apparently the story in this includes the fact that there's these various types of insects and microbes are starving to death in there. And so whatever could be done to... I mean, you can't just scatter breadcrumbs out there because that's not what they need to eat. But there's a lot of starvation out there in the bay because there's it's getting to be such a toxic poison hole. And, you know, with enough missing and speedboats and MTBE and whatnot poisoning the bay. In fact, maybe this is about the time. You remember Bush just told us to shove it with the MTBE? Story. You remember, did you pay attention to that, Rubble?
Not in detail, no.
Well, essentially what it was that the states can't sue a corporation, apparently, for poisoning through MTBE. That was in the new energy bill. And
We
don't have the right to sue and get them to clean up the MTBE, much less to get a pittance in cash for damages. And so that was apparently, was that a Supreme Court? Yeah, that's pretty moral, you know. You know, saying that a whole state, including Orange County, can't sue for damages to MTBE.
It seems like part of a whole Republican-led strategy there to crack down on corporate liability.
Well, I guess you could say that, but, you know, it's funny. There was the use of pollution as a weapon was all the way back to Carthage, at least, and probably long earlier. And there was an example in Carthage where in order to make sure that future generations in Carthage would never have it easy, they took salt and plowed it into the soil. They hauled salt out of the, you know, the Mediterranean and brought it into the high mountains or wherever Carthage was, in Ice Valley, I think it was, and they poisoned it. So that nothing would ever grow there again. So that was a use of pollution as a weapon. So some would say, you know, if Bush and Arnold and all of these people are Nazis, the new Pope and all of these people, Nazis, you know, what's the deal about tolerating that? You know, much less the idea that we can jubilee them out in a heartbeat. Those fuckers wouldn't survive a minute if it wasn't for the cash that they'd stolen. You know, so anyway, this poisoning of the bay, though, is very serious because it's, you know, for what cause it came. These corporations, I mean, if you looked at it as a dumbass mentality, the personality of a, you know, a 3-year-old, you know, I want mine and nobody else gets anything. You know, and you shouldn't even pin that on all 3-year-olds. That's for dang sure. Anyway, the point is that the poisoning of the bay by these corporations, they have to deny it. You know, if they admit that they poisoned, you know, the waters that however many millions live in the bay, much less this section of California, much less all the that's dependent upon a clean series of waters in the bay, that somebody could poison it and then take it in the courts. They got to deny it. I mean, if they admit it, they'd be so broke, they'd be out there in hip waders cleaning it up 24 hours a day. You know, nobody would let them sleep. You better clean that up. And, I mean, they've done it to such an extent. So they have to deny it. And that's where the stolen money, the bribes, the corruption in Congress and whatnot, they're essentially telling us that we don't have the right to sue because our bay has been poisoned. It's interesting, too. We've really only got, like, what, four Congress people for the bay. And in 1776 and in the early, you got a new congressman every 60,000 number. You know, the population jumps by 60,000, well, you get another congressman. And so the Bay Area is now, what's it, 5 million or something like that? It's varying amounts. You know, .com was one number, and now it's gaining in its way and declining. It's this and that. But we should have, like, what, 20 different congress people instead of three or four? You know, we're being so screwed. Well, in fact, it's probably more like 260,000. I mean, how many per million is it? What, 20 per million?
Yeah, three Democrats.
Yeah.
Just three of the same thing.
Well, I mean, no wonder you can't get representation.
Right. One slightly different than the other two. Yeah. That's about it. You're right.
Yeah, and so this whole idea that we're being bullshit, well, gosh darn it, we're being, it's funny because your bribes go further when you've got that few of congresspeople. What they did was 1914, they essentially changed the Constitution so that rather than let Congress grow, they said, oh, we're going to stick it in this little tiny building and then limit it to 435. And so slowly but surely, it's always been staying at 435. But this is kind of like the frog in a pot of cold water. You know, it took short of 100 years, you know, for everybody to figure out that they were going to lose so many congressmen that by that time you were just going to be useless. There's no democracy. So how come Pelosi, everybody's along the waterways out here, so they all should be shouting about it. You know, I came out here to California to splash in the bay, and nobody goes out there. It's toxic soup. So, you know, they've been giving up a lot by not having representation.
Oh, yeah, this has been a pit of pollution since I've been here for about 15 years. But anyway, well, we got a few more minutes. Do you have anything else to say about that?
Well, it looks like I'll see if I can round up some of these scientists written into here. Would seem to me, though, that, I mean, obviously breadcrumbs are not the thing to toss in the water or feed these poor fish. But something's got to be done probably to improve the shoreline so there's more stuff for it to spawning grounds, you know, grasses to hide in and this and that. But the MTBEC seems like a real logical one. Plus, something must be happening at the refineries if they're making this much money. And upstream, you know, what's going on in the Stockton port, you know, they must be dumping stuff up there, and because something's killing all the fish in the bay, and it's big time bad. They go 62,000 down to, what, 150 mm-hmm. or what, it was 190. That's just craziness, you know. This is like you stop going to work every day because of something like this. And, you know, they admitted the other day that the Earth's oceans are so gained in heat. Now, that's too many breadcrumbs dumped on the bottom, plus toxic waste, plus, you know, don't I hear about these fishing trawlers that nowadays are, like, scooping up miles worth of fish, and then they toss, like, 85% of them back, but they have a mortality rate of, like, 60%. So they're, like, scooping up massive, and they've been doing this for more than a decade, scooping up massive tonnage of fish, killing it all, or killing half of it, and dumping the rest back. So they kill this, do these massive fish kills out there, plus then they leave this slurry that ends up to biodegrade because it can't get fed fast, eaten fast enough. So that would explain to some degrees what the heat temperature is in the oceans, but it's still an ugly scene. You know, these people are like crazy. I mean, the fact that we're taking our human waste, you know, the toilets that we use, and not dumping them back out into the farmers' fields, we're sending them out to the ocean, man, that's stupid. You know, you're taking your best fertilizer and shipping it out so where you can never use it, you know. And Yeah, so it's an incredible scam. You know, the way that the economy, the sub headline on this or sub story on this is that CalFed can't fix the Delta despite spending billions. And it's obvious there are people who are making money poisoning it, but there is no money to nobody is budgeting money, nobody is arranging money to clean it up. So then, you know, the only efforts to clean it up are in the lawsuits, and there's no, apparently these settlements haven't worked out that they actually remedy the problem. You know, it's always paying cash to somebody, but it never gets fixed. And so, I mean, basically, we're in a world of craziness, and most of it is just, well, you know, taxation without representation. You're not getting offices that are doing what they're supposed to do, and those that do get underfunded. And so, you know, if you have structural needs, you got to hunker down to getting those needs taken care of. If it requires some kind of fake money to get that going, or you have some honest money to get it going, you know, so you make a determination which money you're going to use. Some people would say go to the euro. Some people say, well, there's just as much corruption over there. But the fact of the matter is we just got to hunker down and clean up the bay. So we come up with our own currency, or we just make enough food, not bombs, kitchens out there that everybody's fed out by the site, and as soon as it gets done, then we got a jubilee. And so it's, you know, hunker down to the project and a lot of potlucks to make it go. And, you know, I mean, if it requires 100,000 people walking the shores of the waterways here in Northern California to make sure that there aren't these hazardous wastes being poured in, and, you know, find out the midnight dumps that have been laid out there and make sure they get stopped up and then cleaned up, remediated. So it, yeah, it just makes a lot of sense, you know, that we just got to jump their money track.
Okay, we're getting 5 minutes towards the top of the hour. Let's go up towards the top of the hour with a brand new one from the Diplomats of Solid Sound, Cuberbake.
That was, what, 10 minutes or something? Oh, still up.